Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hey everybody, it's the Big Football Show, the Athletic's daily podcast going around the Big Ten, daily at least for another week, as the Big Ten football season is still going with Ohio State playing in the national championship game. I'm here, Austin Meek, with Colton Pouncey. We've been off for a couple weeks because of the holidays. Colton, how are you doing? How were the holidays for you?
It was a good time, you know. Got to spend some time with my family. Drove back to Chicago a little bit, got to see them. So it was nice, little bit of a sort of a relaxation time for us. But yeah, I'm ready to get back to it. It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, a little time to relax, which was good after a long and a short and a weird football season all in one. A lot has happened since the last time we did a show. The Big Ten bowl season has basically come and gone with only one game left in the college football season. One thing that has not happened: Jim Harbaugh has not signed his contract. That's still hanging out there. So we can talk about that later in the show. But let's start, Colton, with Ohio State, the Buckeyes in the national championship game against Alabama after beating Clemson in the semifinals. Let me start with the big picture question, because when the Big Ten made the decision to reverse course and play football this fall, I think we all understood that a big part of that decision was because there was one team in this conference that had a chance to win the national championship, and that was Ohio State. And there's even been some reporting. I read a story in the New York Times where Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State, was quoted as saying that was part of the conversation at that time when the Big Ten made that decision to change course and play the fall season, was that Ohio State had this team that was kind of a once-in-a-generation type team that had a chance to win the championship. So let me ask you, Colton, now that we're here, now that Ohio State is a few days away from playing for the national championship, does that make it all worthwhile? Was it worth it? Everything the Big Ten has gone through this fall to play this football season, is it worth it now that Ohio State is a step away from a national championship?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't easy getting here. There are certainly a lot of ups and downs throughout this whole chapter of this 2020 season. You know, it started with, you know, players coming back in the fall. You know, August came around, the season was shut down. People didn't really know what was going to happen at that point. And Ohio State was one of the most vocal teams in the Big Ten, saying, look, we've got a chance to do something special here. You know, Ryan Day released that release, kind of talking about, you know, why we can get in the season. I think it was pretty clear back then what their motive was. And again, like, here we are. I think you can take issue with, you know, how we got here. And certainly COVID issues were the main concern at that point. And, you know, was it safe to play? That was a big question. You know, the other conferences proceeded as they were set to do, and the Big Ten kind of lagged behind there, but they got a season. Somehow they got it in. It wasn't easy. A lot of games canceled. So I think when you look at where we are today, the Big Ten got its premier team, Ohio State, in the national championship game. And again, I don't know if people really saw Ohio State getting here. Like, the playoff is certainly an option for them every single year, but you know, I think there were still some questions. You know, did they play enough games to get in? You know, did they deserve their spot? They came out against Clemson and absolutely dominated that game. From the second quarter on, Justin Fields looked amazing. You know, the whole offense was clicking. It seemed like that was the Ohio State team that most expected. They're here now. They have a chance to win it all. So I think big picture, when you take a look at everything that happened, it has to be deemed a success. Just getting Ohio State, getting your premier team in the conference championship game, in the national championship game, and with the chance to win it all. So yeah, I think the answer has to be yes at this point.
Yeah, hindsight is always 20/20, and I think the question of whether it was worthwhile, it probably depends a lot on your perspective and which school you cover. And there's, you know, I'm guessing there's some schools in the Big Ten that if you ask them to be 100% honest, they would probably say, you know, maybe it wasn't worth it. Who knows? Michigan might even be one of those. Now, publicly, everything that Michigan has said is, you know, that they're glad they played, that, you know, they're glad that we had a Big Ten season, even if it was not a normal season at all. But I don't know, man. I mean, it was tough. It was tough on those players. It was tough on the coaches. It was tough on everybody. But, you know, a couple things. First of all, you know, originally, if we think back, the talk was that the Big Ten was going to try to play in January or February. Well, I tell you what, look around the country right now. It's not exactly a better time to be starting a college football season. I mean, you know, there's good news. There's the vaccine on the way, but it's still, for most of us, probably months away and not weeks or days away. So if you think about trying to play a winter or a spring Big Ten season, it doesn't look a lot easier right now than it did back in the fall. And I think that if the Big Ten was going to play this year, the best they could hope for is for what they got in terms of getting a team in the championship game. You know, do the ends justify the means? I don't know. But if you're going to play football this year, if you're the Big Ten, your hope is that at the end of the season, you've got a team standing in the championship game. And that's what we got. So Colton, what was the most impressive part to you of how Ohio State played in that semifinal game against Clemson? Because, you know, I think a lot of us, even those of us who, you know, who watched Ohio State this year, didn't really know what to expect because they hadn't, you know, they hadn't played as many games. And when they did play, we hadn't really seen Ohio State's best game until the semifinal. So, you know, what was the most impressive part to you of what you saw from the Buckeyes in that game?
Yeah, you know, I think the easy place to start is Justin Fields. You know, he got banged up in that game. You know, his ribs took a shot there. But for him to go, you know, 22-28, 385 yards and six touchdowns, that was just a phenomenal performance, arguably the best of his career, going up against a guy that most have projected going ahead of him in the 2021 draft, Trevor Lawrence. He's sort of the golden boy of college football. And Justin Fields came out and just simply outplayed him towards that Clemson defense all game long. So I think he's a great place to start. I know the running back, Sermon, had a big game. He's really come on strong of late. I believe he had over 190 yards rushing in that Clemson game. So Ohio State's offense, you know, they're clicking on all cylinders. And I think that's, they're going to provide some matchups for that Alabama defense. I think that game will be pretty interesting. But yeah, those two guys specifically really stood out to me in that game. How about you, Austin?
Yes, same here. You know, we hadn't really seen the best of Justin Fields this season. I mean, he was so good last year. And he still, you know, he was good this year in the times that we saw him, but, you know, he had more turnovers. He didn't look as sharp this year as he did last year. Mm-hmm. The Big Ten championship game wasn't his best game. So for that reason, you know, I think I went into that semifinal not really knowing what to expect, but came away, you know, so impressed and feeling like that was the Justin Fields that we knew, you know, we knew he was capable of that, but we hadn't seen him play at that level this year. And I wasn't sure we would see him play at that level this year. So for him to deliver that game with those stakes, you know, on that stage, was really impressive, especially given that he appeared to be playing through a lot of pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a, you know, that was a vicious hit that he took. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to come back and finish the game.
It's a miracle that he did, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, and you have to wonder now as we look ahead to the championship game, is it going to be Justin Fields at 100%? Is it going to be Justin Fields at 75%? You know, sometimes I think, in the adrenaline of the moment, even if it hurts, you know, you're in the zone, you know, and you're locked in. And that's what it looked like to me, is even though Justin Fields was playing through some pain, he was so focused on that moment that he was able to kind of block that out and still go out there and make plays. And now he's going to have a week, 10 days to, you know, hopefully to work through the injury, to get some treatment, to heal up a little bit. But also, you know, he probably woke up the next morning feeling really sore.
Just a little bit.
what do we expect from Justin Fields in the championship game? What do we expect from Ohio State's offense? Are they going to be able to score enough points to hang with this Alabama team?
Yeah, I think that's the question everyone's asking right now. Obviously, a lot of it comes down to the health of Justin Fields. I imagine he's going to be out there. I don't see a scenario where he's not playing that game, just because he knows what's at stake. This is a game that obviously big for the Big Ten, big for Ohio State, but also big for his own draft development and kind of the narrative out there. I know people say Ohio State quarterbacks won't succeed in the NFL, and I know this game really doesn't have much to do with that, but at the same time, he faced a lot of criticism this year with, you know, oh, he can't live up to the hype. He wasn't as good as he was last year. Kind of silenced some of those doubters against Clemson. Now he has a chance to do it again in the national championship game. So it'll be interesting. If he's healthy and that offense is clicking like it did against Clemson, they're going to be in this game. I think that's what they're going to need. They're going to need Trey Sermon running the ball, getting 30 carries, you know, putting together pieces like he did in that run game. Chris Olave is going to need to be a presence in that the wide receiver core. And again, Justin Fields is going to have to play like he did against Clemson, because this Alabama offense, you got to be able to keep up with them. You got to be able to score points with them, because they're not going to make it easy on you. They're not going to take their foot off the gas pedal. So if Ohio State can get those points, I think they'll be in it. But I don't see this being a defensive battle, I'll say. I don't know about you, Austin. How are you kind of approaching this game?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, no, Ohio State's going to have to score if they want to have a shot, because Alabama is so explosive. I mean, as good as Clemson was, Alabama has way more weapons offensively.
Yeah.
You know, and that receiver core especially, I mean, you know, starting with Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner, and you know, it sounds like Jaylen Waddle may be back and able to play. Like that is,
yeah,
you know, the most loaded team in the country by a wide margin in terms of skill players. So if you're Ohio State, yeah, you have to go into that game thinking that you're going to have to score 35, I bet, maybe 40. I mean, you have to be prepared to win a shootout if you're Ohio State. You know, you made a good point about Justin Fields, because going into the season, it was kind of, you know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields were kind of 1A and 1B in terms of the Heisman Trophy front runners in contention for the number one draft pick, best quarterbacks in the country. You know, Justin Fields was right there. Mm-hmm. And as the season went along, you started to see his name slip down there a little bit. That wasn't all his fault. It was partly just because Ohio State didn't get as many opportunities to play.
Yeah.
It is also because he wasn't as sharp this year as he was last year. So, you started to see some other quarterbacks come into that conversation in terms of you know, the top two or three guys who might get drafted. Justin Fields was not not a Heisman Trophy front runner. You know, he was kind of on the fringe of the conversation. You know, if people had voted after the big after the semifinal game, it might have been a little bit different. But you know, all that to be said, I agree with you that you know Justin Fields has a lot on the line in this game. You know, first and foremost, the chance to win a national championship, which would be big for Ohio State, would be big for the Big Ten. What do you think about Ohio State's defense? Because I was impressed and surprised by how well Ohio State's defense played against Clemson. Alabama's a little bit different animal. Do you think Ohio State at least could be able to slow down Alabama?
Yes, I guess in theory. You know, they do have some athletes. You know, they've recruited well over the years, and that's sort of their bread and butter. But man, I don't know. Like, especially if Jaden Waddle comes back and he's playing and he looks like himself, like that provides a whole different threat for an opposing defense. And it's not like Ohio State has been dominant this year. I mean, they've been pretty good against the rush, but passing defense has not been great. They've seen a lot of attempts come their way, but I don't know. Like that Alabama offense, like you mentioned, it's sort of a different animal. So they're going to need to keep it somewhat close. It's, you know, they can't give up like 45 points, 50 points, and really expect to win a game, except unless Justin Fields is just torching defenses again. But I don't know. I feel like that, you know, that Ohio State defense is going to need to come through in some way, at least, you know, maybe try to contain Najee Harris a little bit if you can't stop those receivers and the threats outside. But they're going to need some sort of effort to kind of, you know, minimize the Alabama attack. And I don't know if it'll happen, but that's certainly what they're hoping for in this game. How about you?
Yeah, I remember covering the Citrus Bowl last year, Alabama and Michigan. And I mean, that Alabama team was so talented. I'm not sure what they were doing in the Citrus Bowl, because that Alabama team last year was probably good enough to win a national championship too. And I know Tua got hurt and you know, a lot of things happened with that team, but you know, the talent, you could see it on that team last year with the receivers they had, Najee Harris running the ball, you know, Mac Jones was the quarterback in that game. You know, and at the time we're like, you know, didn't really know who this guy was, if he was the future of the quarterback position at Alabama. And then he ends up, you know, being a Heisman Trophy finalist, and you know, he did just fine this year. But that is just a loaded Alabama team. And I think that, you know, I think the concern for Ohio State, and Bruce Feldman had a good piece this week talking to some coaches around the Big Ten, giving their scouting reports about Ohio State. And you know, one of the things they said that I think matches up with what we all saw this season is if there is a weakness for that Ohio State defense, it is the secondary.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sean Wade, like I had Sean Wade as the preseason player of the year in the Big Ten. A good player, you know, a very good player. But I think, you know, what was in Bruce's piece, and I think what we saw this year, you know, if you really watched close, that secondary for Ohio State was not great. You know, Sean Wade had a good year, not a great year. And when you're talking about a receiving core that explosive, you know, and a passing offense that can hurt you in so many ways, I think that's what I'm going to be looking for, is can Ohio State hang with those receivers of Alabama? Because if not, it could be a long night.
Yeah, I believe in terms of total defensive stats, I think Ohio State's number two against the run and 117th against the pass. I will say, I think in terms of our editor, you know, Jason Starrett, our stats guy here at The Athletic College Football, he tweeted out that Ohio State has faced the nation's fourth most pass attempts per game this year. So if you go by yards per attempt, they're 56th. If you go by yards per run, they're, I believe, 10th. So, yeah, I guess the numbers come back a little bit down to earth when you kind of look at it on a per attempt basis. But, yeah, I mean, I think their best bet is trying to stop the run game and hoping to have some success. I agree with you. I don't think Sean Wade had his best season. He's probably better inside than on the outside. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, when you're facing guys like Waddle and Smith, that's a tough matchup. So their pass defense is going to have to improve. Maybe that's a scouting thing. Maybe that's something you see in practice. Maybe something that you know, those coaches can kind of figure out here in the next couple days. But it's going to be tough. We're going to need those guys to come through, and I'm not sure it can happen.
All right, well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the thing that has been occupying most of my attention as the guy who covers Michigan football, Jim Harbaugh and his future with the Wolverines. You know, I've probably gone back and forth about 5 or 6 times on this, Colton, in the time since we last taped a show. If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I might have told you something different than I'll tell you today, and who knows what tomorrow's going to bring. But I can tell you, it certainly has been a strange deal to try to figure out what the future holds here, because, look, I guess just to set the table a little bit. So Jim Harbaugh, he's going into the last year of his contract, still working, as far as we know today, under the original contract that he signed when he was hired at Michigan. Pretty unusual situation to get, you know, to this point. For any head coach, especially a head coach, you know, as high profile as Jim Harbaugh, to get this deep into a contract without having an extension. Usually, coaches and schools want to have more cushion at the end of that contract for recruiting and for stability. So it's kind of unusual that we got this far, that Jim Harbaugh is now heading into the final year of his contract with no resolution. And the expectation was that as soon as the season ended, that Ward Manuel, the athletic director, would sit down with Jim Harbaugh and they would hash things out. And pretty soon after the end of the season, we expected that there would be some type of announcement, that there would be an announcement that Jim Harbaugh had agreed to a contract extension, or maybe an announcement that they had decided to go their separate ways. Didn't really know. But I tell you what, I would not have predicted that we would be sitting here, it's January 6th as we're taping this show, and still don't know. Still no word from Jim Harbaugh or Michigan. I don't know, Colton, what do you make of this situation as you look at it from the outside? What's your read on what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I should be asking you this question, but at least from my perspective, you know, covering the team down the road, I guess, it seems like the ball is in Harbaugh's court. You know, I don't know if the money's going to match up the same as his last contract. Maybe that's something that's kind of holding things up at this point. But, you know, it seemed to me like after signing day that things were going to be figured out here, ironed out over the next few weeks. Here we are almost mid-January, first week in January still, but still nothing fully resolved. And I think the longer this goes on, you have to wonder if Harbaugh really wants to be here, how much he's actually exploring NFL interests, NFL opportunities, and just what to make of it if he even comes back after that. Because I don't know if this is a sort of, okay, he gets a new 6-year contract and then he's locked in for good, or if he's still going to have NFL doubts after, you know, each season. I don't really know how that's going to work out, but it seems like this is in a holding pattern for a little bit until Harbaugh, you know, makes a decision here. As you, the beat writer, I mean, how do you feel about the situation? You've covered this from start to finish. How do you see this going in your mind?
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think that you hit on the really important question here is if Jim Harbaugh does come back and he does end up signing a contract extension, what does it mean for the future? Because I got to be honest, you know, I've got some serious questions about how Harbaugh and Michigan come back from this and still make it work. Because it does feel like both sides are really going right up to the brink here. And there have been many opportunities since the season ended for either side to come out and make a statement and say definitively, you know, Ward Manuel could have said, Jim Harbaugh is our coach, and we're going to make sure that he has a fair contract and that he's here next year. You know, Ward Manuel could have said that, but we haven't heard that. Jim Harbaugh could have come out and said, this is my alma mater. This is where I want to be. I'm not going to consider any NFL jobs. I'm going to make it a priority and make sure everybody knows that this is where I'm going to be. We haven't seen Jim Harbaugh do that either. And the longer this silence goes on, just the more, you know, the more questions I have about the long-term relationship here. And I should note, Bruce Feldman has reported that there's an extension on the table and that there's a feeling around Michigan that Jim Harbaugh is probably going to sign that extension through 2026, that's getting closer, which, you know, that jibes with what we've heard as well. But you also have to keep that wild card out there, because nobody really knows what's going through Jim Harbaugh's mind. All you can do is just sort of interpret his actions. And the fact that we're now, Colton, in the middle of the NFL hiring cycle, the NFL coaching carousel is ramping up this week. We're past Black Monday in the league, so now, you know, the jobs that are going to be open are open now. And I don't know, I just have to think the fact that we're at this point in the season and Jim Harbaugh has not signed his contract, that says to me that he is exploring those NFL options at least, and he may find out that there's not an NFL job open for him this year, and he may come back and sign that extension at Michigan. But I have to wonder, you know, if after going through all of this, are they going to be able to get things back on track together, or are they just kind of, you know, delaying the inevitable if Jim Harbaugh comes back next year?
Yeah. And I mean, this is something we've talked about kind of all off season. You know, we know how Harbaugh operates. He's going to do things on his term and on his timeline. So I'm sure he's taking his time to see what interest is out there. You know, a lot of these NFL jobs just opened up. He's certainly qualified to land an NFL job. I don't think that's an issue. It's just what's out there, who wants to take a chance on him. How is the coaching carousel going to play out? The playoffs are going too. So that's another thing to consider. So yeah, it seems like he's going to take his time. He's going to see what's out there, but he also might not be 100% comfortable with the extension on the table. I don't know if the average annual salary is a little bit lower than what he had in the past. You know, that could be a factor in this. I do think you sort of lose that leverage when you don't meet expectations, which is what this whole thing has been about. When he was hired here, you know, his first couple of years were sort of his best. And then it's kind of been a bit of a decline here the last couple of years, and, you know, all culminating with this season. And this was a weird season, I'll point that out. But, you know, when you go 2-4, you kind of lose some leverage in what's considered almost your contract year. So I'm not sure if he's too entirely pleased with that. So he's might just be looking at NFL interests from other organizations out there. But if the idea is that he's going to sign that contract eventually, my question is, where do you go from there? Is he all in at that point? Because I feel like Michigan could just be giving him this time to say, okay, yeah, get that out of the way, get that out of your system. If you leave, you know, we'll pivot to something else. We understand. If you come back, we want you all in. You know, maybe he's saying the same thing on his end. Like, I want to be here all in. But it's, I don't know. It's interesting. I think it'll probably be resolved in the next week or so. That would probably be the indication here, but I guess you never know until everything is finalized.
Yeah. It's a good point that, you know, our expectation is that if this contract does get signed and it does get done, Jim Harbaugh's not going to be making $8 million a year the way he was under his original contract. And whatever the buyout is, the expectation is that it's not going to be prohibitive for Michigan, that if they have a bad year next year, they don't want to be on the hook, you know, to take that buyout from what it is now, which is, you know, I think in the 6 to 10 million range for the whole staff.
Yeah.
You don't want to take that buyout and then double it for next year,
right,
on the chance that, you know, if you go 3-9 next year and you have to make a change, Michigan does not want to eat a bunch of money that they just added on to that contract. So the expectation is that if Jim Harbaugh does have a contract extension, it'll be for less money with a lower buyout. And if you're Jim Harbaugh, maybe you look at that and say, you know, maybe you feel like that's a little bit of an insult. And maybe you say, look, you know, I haven't done everything that people expected for me or hoped for me, but we've been pretty good. You know, we've had 3 10-win seasons, and we didn't have a great year in 2020, but it was a strange year because of COVID. And it's not really fair to judge, you know, the tenure based on what happened this year. So maybe if you're Jim Harbaugh, your reasoning is, look, you know, I deserve to, you know, first of all, to make the money that was, you know, promised to me under my original contract, which would have been, another 8 million next year. And I don't, you know, I don't feel like at this point in my life, I should have to take a pay cut. And if that's what's being offered to me, then I am going to go and investigate some opportunities in the NFL and see if there's a job out there for me. You know, I wouldn't be stunned if that's what's happening. And if there is an NFL team that is enamored with Jim Harbaugh and remembers the Jim Harbaugh that took the 49ers to the Super Bowl and feels like, you know, yeah, even though, you know, the Michigan tenure maybe hasn't lived up to expectations, we're going to give this guy a shot because he's been successful in this league. I could see an NFL team thinking that about Jim Harbaugh. And I don't think anybody at Michigan would, you know, be like standing in front of the door if Jim Harbaugh wanted to do that. Right. You know, I mean, I think there's a sense from people at Michigan that they want to give Jim Harbaugh every opportunity to succeed at Michigan. They want to say they did everything they could to make his time here a success and give him all the time he needs, including the opportunity to hire a new defensive coordinator and probably some pretty significant staff changes in other areas as well. So I think Michigan is giving him that opportunity. But if there was an NFL team that came in and said, we want to hire Jim Harbaugh, I don't think Michigan was going to stand in the way. You know, I think Michigan would be prepared in that situation to go hire his replacement. And so we will see. I think I agree with you, Colton. I've said this many times already and been wrong. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. But I do think that this has to resolve itself at some point soon because the NFL jobs are going to get filled. You know, the NFL hiring cycle doesn't go on forever. And we're going to know pretty quickly if there's a job out there for Jim Harbaugh. Okay, let's leave it at this. I'm going to ask you one more question before we get out of here. If you are making your preseason predictions next year in the Big Ten East, let's assume that Jim Harbaugh is coming back. Do you have Michigan ahead of Michigan State next year, or is next year the year that the Spartans make the jump and finish above Michigan?
See, this is one where you're setting MSU fans up to hate me for this. That's okay. Because I think Michigan State is probably still another year out before they're really ready to compete in the Big Ten, just because they got off to a delayed start with this year. And I feel like last year was more of a year zero for them. I feel like this will be like year one. Like when you get a full off season and conditioning program and everything that comes with that. So I think in terms of next year, I would still have Michigan ahead of Michigan State. And I know that's weird saying that because Michigan State did beat Michigan this year, but again, this is a weird season. You got to kind of take it for what it is. So I would have Michigan ahead of Michigan State going into next year, but year three, you get into that 2022 range. I think Mel Tucker lands some of these recruits in Michigan that he's going after, and they're getting that recruiting thing fired up. I have a feeling that it'll start to change a little bit, but in terms of next year, I'll go with Michigan over Michigan State.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, thank you for checking out the show this year. It's been a lot of fun to do this show, even though it's been a bit of a strange season, and that's probably an understatement, but we enjoyed walking through it with everybody here on the show. Colton and I will be back at some point throughout the offseason. We'll keep in touch. We'll have spring football coming up here in not too long. So thank you again for checking out the show. We'll talk to you soon.